About 18 months ago, a new person came to the Commission for the Blind as an assistant commissioner. An assistant commissioner in the structure of the commission is just below the associate commissioner, so second in command, if you will. And one of the questions that I asked and several other people asked around, and it was just a plain old question, is who the hell is Peter Crowley and what the hell is he doing here? So here to answer that question for you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is Peter Crowley.
And I'm old enough to remember the Who. Good morning, everybody. Carl Jacobson, Executive Committee, and members of the National Federation of Blind in New York State. I'm truly pleased to be here. Carl's question of who the hell is Peter Crowley and why the hell he is here is not even an original question. My family, my children have been asking that for years. But let's see if I can do a better job answering that question for you folks than I've been able to for my kids. I'm going to go back in time and hopefully quickly bring you up to date and answer both questions along the way. Showing my age, I was born 50 years ago. And as I said to Mindy this morning, the only thing worse than having a 50th birthday would not to have it at all. But I remember growing up originally, I was from Long Island, Massapequa Park, anybody knows where that is? And it was quite interesting. I had three brothers, and I was born premature with a separated placenta, and that was the cause of my blindness. At that time, I was born with 7% vision. My parents were not aware when I was 3-4 years old. They just knew I kept getting about 6, 8, 10, 12 inches away from the TV set, and they kept backing me up across the room to the couch, because if you sit too close to the TV... Yeah. Yeah, so I kept moving up close to that TV. They kept moving me back. It was quite a game we played for a couple of years. And then when I was in kindergarten, the eye doctor in town, at that point we moved to Manhasset, Long Island, said, you better go to Columbia Presbyterian. We better have some pictures taken of his eyes and figure out what's going on here. Well, they found out as a result of the premature birth, separated placenta, I had congenital optic atrophy. Yeah, see, everybody knows what that is. Go to a room of people who can see, they go, congenital what? Well, my parents were determined for me to be raised similarly to my brothers, who none of which were blind, born blind or became blind. I was the first person to go through the public schools in our town from beginning to end who was blind. You don't necessarily want to be the first. But somebody has to be. Understand, this was before Public Law 94-142 or anything else that provided equal access to education or education in a least restricted environment. At a young age, I really believe my parents were strong advocates and proponents of me trying things and having a fulfilling life. But second grade, I started wondering. My birthday present in May that year was a two-wheel bicycle. So I'm not sure if my parents wanted me to be just like my brothers or they had a life insurance policy on me. Please understand, my parents grew up during the Depression. You know what that is. They walked 5 miles away to and from school uphill in both directions. So I didn't know if my father was trying to help me or he saw me as his lottery ticket. He brought me down to Eakins Road, which was the dead-end street. And just to make it more challenging, he'd got me a bicycle that was a little too big for me. Put the blocks on the pedals because I'm going to keep growing, therefore I'll grow into this bicycle. So clearly he was financially prudent. I'll never forget him holding the bike, running alongside and behind me and letting go of the bike. And sure enough, I hit a parked car. At that moment, I wondered if my dad was thinking, oh no, what have I done, or I am going to cash in that policy. What my parents did, and I think partly by design and partly because they didn't listen to the eye doctor and other people, was say he has to try things. We mistakenly think that the sighted folks out there, and I'm not knocking them, my parents are sighted, my wife is, and so are my children, but they mistakenly think by watching out for us, they're helping us. They're inadvertently limiting us. I also, being the first person blind to go through the public schools, it was a double-edged sword. I had close friends and supporters and allies. I also had those that were going to throw stones and call me names. And I learned as I matured, or at least got older, that when one blind child is made fun of, they've all been hurt and made fun of. What happens to one happens to all. As I got older and became even more stubborn, I ended up captaining my wrestling team in high school. Conversely, I'm a believer. If one person who is blind becomes elevated, we've all become elevated. My condition worsened over time. I'll never forget going to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital and having Dr. Hamill, a nationally renowned neurologist, tell me, you either have an inoperable brain tumor or your optic atrophy is progressing and we can't help you. That was the two sides of the coin. Well, since I'm here today, I think we know which it was. Thank you. And my wife feels that way most days. I, like other people, had to then learn more skills. Learned how to use a cane. As Carl will tell me, I have one of these silly toothpick canes. I need to get a larger one. Mm-hmm. Also, went to Smithtown, Long Island, and got a guide dog. And started trying to figure out what should my future be and what do I want my future to be, not what others think it should be. Big difference. I took a job approximately 25 years ago at State University of Farmingdale. At that time, it was known as the Industrial Home for the Blind. It's now Helen Keller Services for the Blind. I was offered a position as a camp counselor that summer. I was proud to be a camp counselor there, and I thought it was important that there be people who are blind as camp counselors for these young children who are blind. Much to my disappointment, I was the only counselor there who was blind. The good news was, I feel I was there. I became, whether I wanted to be or not, and it wasn't by design, a magnet to these kids for obvious reasons. The examples and role models for children who are blind, make no mistake, are others that are blind. How could these kids possibly ask one of the sighted counselors, what is dating like when you're blind? How do you feel about not being able to get a driver's license because you're blind? How do girls react to your disability? How do parents of girls react to their disability? I could have lied to them, but then I would have lied to myself. I told them the truth. I told the young boys that I was counseling. Some girls are going to be insecure with themselves and have trouble dating you. It is not a reflection on you, it's a reflection on them. I told them the story of a young woman I had been dating for a few years whose father told her, why are you still dating him? He's blind, how is he going to make a living? Children need to understand that there are naysayers. We have choices in life. We can embrace naysayers or reject naysayers and surround ourselves with positive people. We have to reject the naysayers. It's also funny the twists and turns we take in life. 25 years ago is where I met a young woman named Diane Famoletti, who never asked anything ever about my blindness. She asked about Peter Crowley. That's all. I'm proud to say that she's been my wife for 23 years and we have three healthy children together. Part of the recognition of where one wants to be in life is how do you elevate yourself and how do you develop self-esteem and to feel fortunate for your lot in life instead of being angry about your lot in life. Today I am fortunate for my lot in life. 25 years ago I had a moment that changed my life. There was a young boy at the camp. His name was Leroy. He was blind, cerebral palsy, and also, I guess the technical term is mentally challenged, mentally retarded. He was born with none of these facts in his life. His father beat him blind, beat him to cerebral palsy, and beat him mentally retarded. And Leroy came to camp every day smiling, happy, playing, participated. If Leroy could come to camp and be happy with his lot in life every day, Peter Crowley would have to be ashamed of himself not to be happy with his lot in life. And we have to remember that. We have a lot to be thankful for with our lot in life. I went back to college. Went to the College of St. Rose here up in Albany. I should have been used, you think I'd be getting used to the first. I had the first guide dog on their campus. Graduated cum laude, magna cum laude in my area of study. Like everyone else who is blind, I knocked on a lot of doors and got a lot of no's before I got my first real job of gainful employment. My lot and journey is no different. Eventually, I got a job with Albany County and Human Resources. This is going back approximately 23 years ago. 17,500 was my pay. I called Social Security with beaming pride and said, "Stop sending me checks. I'm gainfully employed." I told them I will be paying Social Security, not receiving it. After working there for approximately 2 years, my supervisor put in for my salary to go up to $23,500, and it was turned down. So I left. But the best time to leave a job is when you have a job. I didn't leave out of spite. I got a job with the New York State Facilities Development Corporation and Human Resources, then left. After I left, the assistant county executive told my supervisor, if we thought he would leave, we would have given him the money. How dare they take me for granted just because I'm blind? But as you will find out, they did me a great favor. While I was climbing professionally and improving myself, Carl Jacobson will tell you I became crazy at the same time. Helen Keller said, life's a daring adventure or nothing. My wife and family will tell you they would rather I didn't take this so literally. Approximately 13 years ago, I had the pleasure of coordinating a climb, an expedition of Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, where four of us were blind from the Albany area. We had the pleasure of going up the hard trail, not the easy trail. We should not intentionally do what's easy. We should do what's challenging. And we did. happy to say Chris Harand, Amanda Massera, and Peter Crowley all summited Kilimanjaro. A former member of NFB and previous scholarship winner, Janine Conway, made it as high as 15,000 feet, but her diabetes wouldn't let her go any higher. Believe me, she climbed just as high, if not higher, than everyone else. Janine, I had the pleasure of spending 3 weeks with Janine Conway, both in a tent and a hotel in Africa. Knowing Janine Conway helped make Peter Crowley a better person. Unfortunately, as many of you know, Janine Conway succumbed to her diabetes a number of years ago. But there isn't a time when Janine and I didn't bump into each other, we didn't laugh and we didn't hug and almost cry from the wonderful memories and experiences and challenges that we put forth each other and tackled. So this, again, Carl will tell you I'm crazy. The Facilities Development Corporation was eventually absorbed by the New York State Dormitory Authority. During that same time, I was getting restless. And my wife has to understand I can't have midlife crisis like everybody else and buy a Corvette. I remember going to work. The Dormitory Authority faces the Hudson River. And I'd go to work and start thinking, geez, I come to this building, I've ridden the railroad down to this New York City many times, which the railroad hugs the river, but it's rather a boring ride on the train. What would it be like to canoe from Albany to New York City? And of course, canoe, because we all have pride, those of us in this room and everyone else who's blind, but canoe in a boat by myself, solo. Four and a half days later, we end up in Chelsea Piers in New York City. I solo in my canoe and my sighted support group in their canoes. The good news and the bad news was this was on Good Morning America and different magazines and newspapers, and I will touch on later why it's good news and bad news. As I was continuing to work in Dormitory Authority and Human Resources, I went down to the people in charge of the design and construction unit. And I said, and they didn't know this, but in continuing education through Hudson Valley Community College, I took construction cost estimating, blueprint reading, and project management, and got A's in all those classes. I said, now, I want to get out of Human Resources, and I want to become a project manager. Like many people, who are sighted, they don't understand and can't figure out how are you going to do this job. Finally, I went to the head of the construction division and I said, listen, I've been asking to do this for months and months and months. Here's my promise. If I come down here and after 6 months you tell me it's not working out, I won't go back to Human Resources. I'll leave the Dormitory Authority. The worst thing that can happen now is they'll write on your epitaph you gave me a chance. With that in his head, he went right upstairs to the executive director of the Dormitory Authority, Tom Murphy. He said, I want Peter Crowley down here, and this is what I want him to do. Tom Murphy said, okay, why didn't you ask earlier? My energies continued to be restless. Remember, life's a daring adventure and nothing at all. What I didn't tell you is while the third night canoeing down the Hudson River, and again, maybe it's from fatigue, lack of sleep, or foolishness. Carl will tell you it's the last. I started wondering what it would be like to canoe or kayak across the English Channel. Yeah, it's funny. I think that's what my wife said. Oh, no. Well, a few years ago, I attempted just that. And you find when you're disabled, in this case blind, and you want to do things that are outside the imagination, the perspective of those people that aren't disability, don't have disabilities, that people are going to think, oh no, you can't do it, it can't happen. I was lucky. Klepper Kayak in Germany thought I was crazy, but sent me a portable kayak. I brailled the pieces of the portable kayak so I could assemble it. And it's quite interesting. When you first get this, my wife's reading the directions, says it can be assembled in 20 minutes. I think the same directions that told my father that Christmas toys could be assembled in 15 minutes, and he used to stay up till 3 in the morning. It took a lot of practice, but that's what we do. And eventually I could at least assemble it in a half hour. We brought the kayaks. I had a sighted companion in a solo kayak of his own. We went to Dover, England, approximately 3 years ago. Put the kayaks, they went in the belly of the plane because they're portable. They're in canvas bags, which is quite interesting in 9/11, having the airport say what's in these bags and you tell them a boat. By law, to do what's called an unconventional crossing, and I guess a blind person kayaking across the English Channel would be viewed as unconventional.
Crazy, thank you.
You must have a support boat having radar to make sure that you are not run over in the channel, because the kayaks are so small, you are virtually invisible to those boats, both on radar and visually. Not doing my homework ahead of time, which is probably good, I didn't realize how dangerous the English Channel really was. Didn't know how many ferries and trawlers were underneath me. They had sunk. Literally underneath me. Yes. Thank you for the clarification, Glau. Yes, I was attempting to be witty and it went right past you. Okay. We got to England, and the gentleman who was going to be our escort vessel is with us, and he says, I recommend you adjust the time chase, organize yourself, and then go out, you know, 2-3 days from now. I turned to him and I said, what's the weather tomorrow? He said, tomorrow's weather is favorable. I said, can you guarantee me what the weather's going to be 3 and 4 days from now? He sheepishly said, of course not. I said, we go tomorrow. And we did. We assembled our boats the night before and got up at about 3 in the morning. By 5 in the morning, we had started paddling. In the beginning, the water was calm, thankfully. But as the sun came up and weather conditions changed and tides became issues, it got rougher and rougher as the journey went on. What I'm most proud of is 7.5 hours later, we arrived on a beach in France. If it's true, all blind people and all kids are in pain when one of our kids is picked on and teased, I believe everybody celebrates and is with me when I successfully landed on the beach in France. We celebrate together. Still working at the Dormitory Authority a couple of years ago, Gail Gordon, who was the former chief counsel of the Office of Children and Family Services, went to then Commissioner John Johnson of the Office of Children and Family Services and said, you have to meet Peter Crowley. At that time, Tom Robertson had already announced his retirement as Associate Commissioner. And I met with Commissioner Johnson. And if nothing else, people in life will get my opinion. They may not like my opinion, and it may work against me, but I'm not going to hold back. He was asking about philosophical issues and things for the blind. I said, I think you should be ashamed of yourself, just like the providers throughout New York State should be ashamed of themselves, that your organization for the blind here with the state and these providers are not headed by someone who's blind. I knew Commissioner Johnson was African American. I said, would the NAACP hire a head who is Caucasian? I also reminded him that sighted providers are not the stakeholders. Blind consumers and their families are the stakeholders of New York State Commission for the Blind. I got a phone call about a week and a half later, asking if I would take the number two position at the Commission for the Blind. It would have been tempting to let my ego get the better of me and say, forget it, it's all or nothing. But sometimes a foot in the door is better than nobody in the door. I have had the pleasure of working with and having Brian Daniels as my supervisor for the last year and a half. And I do support him, and he's allowed me to do a lot of things that I felt have been necessary for the programs I supervise. And I am appreciative of that. So I do feel fortunate to be so supported. Prior to coming in officially with CBVH, about 2 weeks prior, Brian asked me on the phone, he said, how do you feel about not just being assistant commissioner, but being director of the BEP, Business Enterprise Program? He heard dead silence on the other end of the phone. I'm smart enough to know you don't ask someone to take something on if you're happy with how it's being run. I said, I will do it as long as I can do it the way I think it needs to be done. I am the beneficiary of great staff. I am the beneficiary of BEP vendor managers throughout the state that work hard, that are proud, and are looking to improve their lot in life and to be role models for other people who are blind. We are fortunate to have the managers of the BEP program here and throughout the state of New York. I really mean that. And it wasn't difficult for me to philosophically adjust the program. All I had to do was imagine if I had chosen, as a person who's blind, the Business Enterprise Program as a vocation, how would I want to be treated? It's not complicated. And that's simple. That's all we do in partnership with Charlie Richardson, who, again, Charlie, congratulations for being on the executive board. With Harold Wenning, Gary Grassman, and the other committee members, we are partners. The committee, when I am hiring staff, committee members are at the interviews, not as spectators, but as active participants and decision makers. It is their program. We are the gatekeepers. And if anybody tells you it's the state's program, they're kidding themselves, because if all the managers left tomorrow, there is no program. When people who are blind achieve, we should all feel proud. As a young child, I had no role models that were blind. I loved my father to death, and I still love him. He's 79 years old. But he wasn't a role model fully for my needs. I'll never forget listening to Grammy Awards shows on TV and having a pride that I didn't understand every time Stevie Wonder would go up and get a Grammy Award. And I realized later, we all have pride when something positive happens. It's success for all of us. When Eric Weimerheimer summited Mount Everest, we all summited Mount Everest. I'd like to believe when I kayak the English Channel, we all kayak the English Channel. And when we all get hit and take a step backwards, when it happens to one, it happens to all. Things I look forward to in the future. Technology is our friend. I'll never forget 20 some odd years ago, the tools I had were a Perkins Brailler, a guide dog, a cane, a slate and stylus, and my cassette recorder. Those were the tools then. Now the tools are things like you couldn't have even imagined. The first Kurzweil reading machine was at the state library. It was the size of a car, and you couldn't understand what it even said. Now Kurzweil has a machine, thanks to the joint venture of NFB, that you can wear around your neck or put in your pocket. Technology is our friend. GPS systems. I am excited about the day when a portable GPS system is under $500 and has a lot less buttons than the current Trekker, so it will become standard equipment for every person who's blind. That will be huge. You want to keep all those buttons?
Yeah,
all right. Carl wants the buttons. I want less of them. I look forward. Yeah, thank you. Is that a clinical opinion? I look forward to the day when I can run a washing machine and not guess what's lighting up on the LED screen, but it's telling me. I look forward to the day when I can go to the YMCA and not just randomly hit buttons on the cardio equipment, but have the cardio equipment tell me what buttons I'm hitting. The technology is there. I look forward to the day when we have fully accessible voting. Unfortunately, I've been reminded that that may not improve the slate of candidates we always have to choose. I look forward to the day, in spite of all this technology, that we are not still talking about 70% unemployment, which we've been talking about my whole damn life. I look forward to the day when someone like Charlie Richardson is not co-chair of an important committee, but the chairman of an important committee. I look forward to the day when Peter Crowley's accomplishments are not in the newspaper, Eric Weinmeier's accomplishments are not in the newspaper, because it's commonplace and sighted people are stopped being surprised by what we can do. I look forward to that. And I welcome and look forward to productive, positive change, where people who are blind take more of an active role in the next generation, so the next generation can be stronger and more stubborn and refuse to ever quit no matter what. I look forward to that day. Now, Carl, you know who the hell Peter Crowley is and why the hell he's here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know something? I'm damn glad you're here. You know, when you ask us... I'm here for the, when you ask a straight question, you get a straight answer. Yeah, exactly. And so I'm confirmed. He's crazy. At any rate, but you know what? No crazier than any sighted guy who will go across the Atlantic. This, yeah, exactly. I welcome you as a brother and a friend. All right.